Welcome to Reel to Reel with Michelle and Peter. Welcome back to Reel with Michelle and Peter. I'm Michelle.
I'm Peter.
And today we have with us author Kristen Stovall. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. We're so happy to have you here. We want to start we want you to let us and our listeners know about you and what you have going on behind you to get you where you are right now.
You got brave listeners, right?
Yeah.
I'm Kristen Stovall. I'm a fantasy author. I have a completed trilogy, a prequel to that trilogy, and now a recently finished unrelated series to that. And I've just begun work on a new trilogy that I'm co-writing with the same person I did the series with. So, busy girl.
Is the prequel trilogy a trilogy as well?
The prequel is just a single book, but it's a fat book.
Should have gone the George Lucas route. You do the story, then you have the trilogy story, you have the prequel trilogy, then you have the sequel trilogy. And that's how you make one story into nine.
Oh my God.
True. And then all of the fans will complain about the different trilogies and fight each other in cage matches.
Watch them all and buy all the merchandise.
Exactly. Even though they don't like it.
And cement your legacy. Buy all of it. Cement your legacy for 30 years. And then you sell the rights to Disney for like billions of dollars.
Billions and billions.
Yeah, there we go.
You got it.
And free Disney World trips. Like, I would be like, okay, you could cut the, if you just let me go to Disney World free for the rest of my life, like, we could cut that price down a little.
For sure.
Just let me go to Disney World.
How long have you been writing for?
Well, I started sort of just writing for fun and dabbling in my late teens. It was really just like fan fiction and stuff. It was Lord of the Rings, but I always played with the minor characters or just made up my own characters. So basically, I just used that world to learn how to world build and how to character build, which character building is one of my favorite things, how to describe a scene. And I met some amazing people. That's where I met the co-author that I did the Fae Touch Chronicles with. And that's the series I just finished. The last book came out in May. So like, for the end of May, it's the new baby.
I love that.
What was the Lord of the Rings fan fiction like? Like, what kind of character?
Oh, Lord.
Of the Rings.
Exactly. I mean, there were various things. There was one that I had done with someone else and we never finished it, but it had influences from Dune, and I mean, it was still set medieval and that sort of Lord of the Rings world, but we had like a desert race of elves, and that one was kind of
fun. Awesome.
I wish we'd finished it because it was actually a really interesting story. Maybe that's something I should add to one of my books.
Revisit it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Then I did some where romance was kind of the leaning, others where it was adventure, just whatever story inspired me. And I don't know how many of them I finished. I was like 18 and there were other things to do besides finish the stories, you know.
That's so much fun though. It's like, I really like these characters and that's an okay story, but what if the characters did this instead? And
yeah.
What
if this character that was on screen for 5 seconds did this? And that was usually where I went.
Who was your favorite one to give a backstory to in the Lord of the Rings?
I really liked there's the leader of the sort of guards in Lothlorien, Haldir. Mm-hmm. He had two brothers, Rumil and, oh my God, I'm blanking on the names now.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's been years since I visited these characters.
For sure.
But I liked to play with them. They were fun to play with.
Nice.
And,
that's
and
awesome.
The group that I was in, we all loved the elves. So
they had a certain beauty. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and we like to explore it.
Love that though.
That's the whole point of fan fiction.
Yeah. I mean, what a great way to like just start building how you would write as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the finished product that they gave you as far as in the book and in the films. And I mean, gosh, even the little cartoon from way back when.
Yeah.
I love the Lord of the Rings. And I love the Hobbit cartoon. They were adorable too.
They were.
Although I mean, that's how I,
they well, didn't I mean, know how to make the elves hot.
Well, no. Bilbo was a silly looking little guy, but you know, that's how I introduced my kids to Lord of the Rings because I mean, they were pretty little. So, I mean, giving them a visual that worked for them.
Right. The cartoon.
So, yeah. So it's like when it came time for like the features, the full length movies, it's like, and I know that my younger son, he's listened to them on Audible. I don't believe my older son has like read them or anything, but I know my younger son, cause he drives for work. So he'll just put audiobooks on all the time. And like, he's buzzed through Harry Potter more times than I can count. It's like, oh my goodness. But it's such a nice little, you still get to like, get the information and you can be hands-free and do what you have to do while you're doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are your books on Audible? Can we listen to them?
The first book in the trilogy, Soulbound, it just dropped, a few months ago as an audiobook, and the other two, there are plans to have the same narrator do that and everything, but it takes time and it takes money, and you know, so
you didn't want to narrate yourself.
No, I would just judge it. She can narrate them and I listen, and then I'm like, oh, this is a good book. I try to do it and I'm like, this I use that word 10 paragraphs ahead, like,
oh,
this.
No.
I just judge myself so much. But when she read it, I could just sit and listen, and like I found myself not editing and worrying about whether or not it was perfect, but getting really emotionally involved in it. And that book came out in 2015, so it had been a little while since I'd sort of visited those characters in that world, and it was an interesting experience to hear someone else kind of interpret the characters. And there was only one character where I went, nope, that's she's not that old, you need to make that voice a little more youthful. But other than that, she did just such a phenomenal job. And there were a few points where like she'd deliver a line that a character was saying and I'd be like, oh my god, that's amazing. And then the other day she sent me some of the bloopers and I was dying. I was absolutely dying.
Oh, I think I'd like to hear some. Oh my. Now, okay, you write the books. Have you ever thought about like turning it into a script and looking for funding and looking for a movie? Like, I mean, you have this whole universe that you're creating. Like, could you see it like in your head? Could you see it on the big screen?
Oh, absolutely. I write very visually and I have a tendency to listen to like musical scores that have that. I don't usually listen to songs with music or with words when I'm trying to get into a certain headspace for a certain scene, but I'll listen to a piece of music that has that sort of emotional pull. And sometimes music will inspire a scene. It was a piece of music that inspired the entire trilogy. So, you know, I definitely picture it. I always mentally cast characters. Like I've done a few podcasts, and if Ben Barnes ever hears any of them, he'll know that I cast him in like everything.
Hear that? She's coming for you. Love it.
All the people. Richard Madden also gets cast a lot. But nice. What's really cool is I did that for the prequel, The Twisted Path, and I cast an actor I cast them in my head only. An actor named Toby Regbo, who played, you know, he was in the show, the movie Rain. He was in The Last Kingdom. He played a young Dumbledore in one of the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them movies. And then I ordered a cameo from him and told him that, you know, I sort of mentally cast things, and he was so kind. He seemed genuinely flattered and mentioned the name of the character in the book, and then let it go on his public cameo profile, and in August I get to meet him. So I'm so excited. I'm gonna hand him a copy of the book.
Oh, that's amazing. How much fun. Where are you gonna meet him? Is it a con that you're gonna be at, like set up, or something that you're going to?
It's something I'm going to, and it's a ticketed event with like a limited number of people. So it is a con, but it's a smaller, slightly more exclusive one, I guess. And what was so cool is the only reason I even found out about it is that there's this group of ladies who are fans of his, and they have a book club where they read books that he has spoken about in his social media. And they saw the Twisted Path cover on Instagram. One of them saw it and was like, "Oh, that could be Toby Regbo from Rain." So I commented, "Funny you should say that, because that's always who I picture." And then they said, "Well, we're going to do that book for our January book club book." And I was like, "You know, let me know. I'll do a Zoom call with you guys when you meet." And then I got to hang out with them for an evening via Zoom, and they were all awesome and cool. And then they told me about this Facebook group, and it was this group of ladies. It's called Sasnak Society, and they're all Outlander fans and Last Kingdom fans. And that's how I found out about the event, and now I'm going.
That's great. Is it close to you?
It's about 3 hours away, so it's not too bad.
Okay,
I've gone
beautiful.
to cons further away.
Have you gone to a lot through the years?
As a just someone going to have a good time, I've gone to not a lot, but a fair few. And then I started doing the con circuit as an author this year. The plan was actually to start it when the trilogy was finished, but I finished the trilogy toward the end of 2019, and then 2020 happened and cons didn't. So I waited, and now that I kind of feel like there were people that kind of did it, but I felt like the numbers weren't going to be good enough to justify the travel and all of that. So I and having had COVID, I was like, I'm gonna not go there. I'm not doing that again.
No, it's definitely not a fun, it's not a fun thing. So if you can avoid
Not.
it, absolutely.
I mean, I've
Now,
had illnesses where I felt worse, but it was weird. It's weird. It's like you think you know what it's going to be like. You're like, okay, these are the symptoms. I got this figured out. I can handle this. And then the next day, it's like, but wait, there's more.
Yeah, exactly. It just cycles. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like, is this ever just gonna go away? And it's like, oh. Now, the first con you did was on May 1st, correct?
It was April 29th
It
through
was
May
April 29th.
1st.
Okay.
Yeah,
And
in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was called TollCon. It
okay.
was a lot of fun. It was a blast. There were a couple other author friends that I know that went, one of whom will be at Smallville, so I'm excited to see her again. It was really great. And the cool thing was that what really finally got me to sit down and write the books, I had an idea that was inspired by losing my husband when I was 28. And then, a few years later, I went to Smallville Comic Con, which is one that's about an hour and a half away from where I am. And I met an author named Neil Edmund, and I told him, "Man, you're doing what I want to do. Like, this is what I want to do someday." And he just looked at me and he went, "So do it." And my brain just went, "All right, I can just do it." And what's really cool is that and not this weekend, but next weekend, I will be going to Smallville Comic Con with my books. So it's kind of full circle now.
That's
So
great. Now,
excited.
do you, which side of the table do you enjoy being on more?
I mean, I think it just depends on the con and why I'm going. Like, if I want to go and just sort of have a little anonymity, it's fun to go just as a visitor and cosplay and meet the celebrities and get the pictures taken.
I was
And
gonna ask if you cosplay.
yeah. Yeah, I do.
Now, are they?
Hey, hold that thought.
Oh, jeez.
Wait,
You know, I lose them. I lose them, but go
who do
ahead.
you go as?
I was gonna ask that.
Well, I'm a Kansas girl, so I've done Dorothy, and my ruby slippers are incredible. Also, the girl knows how to accessorize shoes. Come on, ruby slippers. But I made them myself. They have individually affixed Swarovski crystals on them. They need a little maintenance right now because, something like that, you do just have to sort of, there's upkeep involved.
100%.
I've done Black Canary. which was a lot of fun.
That's
I've done
awesome.
just like, thank you. I've done just like random Jedi because I threw it together the night before and I had a lightsaber. So there we go.
That's really all you need.
Really?
Exactly. And then I did Killer Frost at one of them.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that was really fun because my co-author is also just like incredibly artistic and crafty. And she made me these. They looked like ice that came. They were on my hand and I could fit little lights into them. So I had these sort of like ice effects on my hands.
So
it was fun.
Do you have like a public Instagram where these pictures are posted?
Yeah, my Instagram, they're posted right now. They're like buried under a bunch of book stuff because I've doubled my book catalog in the last year and a half. So there's a lot of book stuff in there now. But yeah, they're kind of down in there. If you scroll down and there's pictures of me at Ren Fairs and things like that. Basically, if I can wear, if I'm either working a book with my booth, you know, like working a booth with my books and I have that sort of shield or I have a costume, I'm so much more comfortable in the big crowds. It's like I've got either that costume that's like a little shield or the professional element that's like a little shield. So just as long as I have those, I'm fine.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Are there safety protocols still with the pandemic not being necessarily done at these cons? Like, are you wearing face coverings? Are the guests that are visiting wearing face coverings?
It's very much show to show. And really, TollCon was the first one I'd been to since things had started opening up again. So I've just been slowly kind of going to them as I feel comfortable. And I'm in the Midwest. I saw a few people wearing masks down in at TollCon. I had... You know, I bring my masks. I'm fully vaccinated and all of that, and I had it. And so I felt pretty comfortable. And it was also a smaller con, so I did feel more comfortable for that reason. But I had hand sanitizer, and I'm a big believer in respecting everybody's comfort level moving forward because we've been through, like, a collective trauma.
Yeah.
And people are going to come out of it at a different rate. And it's important to be respectful of those comfort zones and just be understanding to each other, you know, and some people do have other health concerns. And so you shouldn't make them feel bad for precautions they feel they need to take to keep themselves safe. It's just, I'm very disappointed in how many people are really weird about like insisting everybody move at their pace.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't know.
I get it. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, for a while, like we're both vaccinated, I'm boosted. And I mean, I would still wear my mask, but people would give me this look like, why? What's wrong? You know, like, I didn't get vaccinated or I am a carrier kind of thing. And it was just like, you know, I'm protecting you from me. Like, my mask isn't really doing anything for me. It's to protect you. You having a mask would protect me. So
It's just everybody's got to move at their pace, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, even within like our family and friends, like, I mean, everybody seems to be going at their own pace.
Very different levels of comfort for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of the visits are still strictly like outside, and I don't mind that because it's nice weather now anyway. doesn't work in like the midst of winter and it's
really hot part of summer.
We're in the snow belt, so we get like four nice days a year. Otherwise it's rain, snow, negatives.
Like, we're right there, like within the Finger Lakes. So we have like it's cold and like super snowy when it's snowy. So
crazy. I'm in Kansas, so it's one thing in the morning and another thing by evening sometimes.
So always bring a light sweater.
We could have all four seasons in a day, you know.
That might be fun though.
it's not.
No. What happens here? Like the other day it was like, I don't know, 40 or something when I woke up, and then it was like 92 in the afternoon. There's no need for that.
I'll take the 40 degree weather any day over the 90 degree weather. I'm 100% like the
90. I'm on an island all alone.
No, because you used to say that though, where you could always layer up. There's no end to the amount of layers if it's cold, but if it's hot, you're kind of stuck at like Hilaire.
I'm that girl. If I'm outside and I'm hot, it's my own fault for being out there. I don't want to be hot inside. That's wrong. Like, there's so many levels of wrong.
Right.
Like,
right.
If I'm torturing myself with the sunscreen and trying to soak up the sun, then yeah, if I'm hot, it's my own doing.
Right.
But we're inside and like the AC is not like doing what it should. And like cats are trying to climb all over you. And it's like, oh my gosh, stop. But yeah.
I don't know how the cats do it. Like, they're just covered
in fur.
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's hot. Get away from me. I love you, but stop it.
I love you, but you're furry.
100%.
And like, you're sticking to me. It's kind of much sometimes.
And then they get up and you're like, you've left half of yourself.
on us. Like, yeah. Like, you just kind of move your hand and it's like, oh, it's a fur ball.
It's another cat.
We've had that conversation after a cat or two have been brushed.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They're fuzzy creatures. Yes. But I mean, I wouldn't hate the cold if we didn't have the snow that went with it.
See, I don't like snow either. I like fall weather, fall and spring, that like in between. I love rain.
Yes.
So that's what I'm into.
I just can't drive in the snow. Like, if I never had to go in a vehicle in weather, it would be fine. Do what you need to. But
exactly.
I don't live in a snow globe. I have places to go and it's horrible. So
you get that hyperspace thing.
Yes. Yes. I
warp drive.
I do. Like, it's like, it just,
don't look at the snow. Look at the road.
It's this awful like anxiety, like kicker. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's like the road's gone and I'm just watching the room come at me. So not fun.
So what you're saying is you could not pilot a starship.
No, I don't believe I would do well with that.
Don't go to Hoth. Hoth would be a bad place for you. Don't go there.
Noted.
I love it. So at this point, you're a full-time author, or do you still, how long have you been able to do that? Like, at what point were you like, oh my God, I don't have to have a regular job anymore. This is awesome.
2020.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, wow. Nice.
End of 2019, 2020. So it's kind of when I switched over. And I mean, there really was a point at which it was like, look, am I either going to do this or am I not? You know? So,
I love that.
You know,
you
definitely
there
are tight times. I had worked with disabled children. I was personal home health aide. So, you know, I was kind of getting to the point where I couldn't do that anymore because it does involve lifting and my back is terrible. And my eyesight is really, really bad as well. And then I was on disability and I'm still on disability for a time. If it weren't for being on disability and having both of them, I couldn't do it full time, but I can with the disability do it full time. So,
I mean, that's awful that you have to have the disability, but that's so cool that you like going from, oh my God, I want to do what you do, and hearing somebody say, then do it. And now being where you are, like, that's the dream, right? I mean,
it's, you know, it's a lot of work and it takes time and discipline and building. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was a process over years of getting there. And now a really cool thing is next weekend, we're going to be debuting a fantasy inspired perfume line too. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's
very interesting.
Fragrant Fantasies to go with Boundless Fantasy, which is what I publish under. And we'll be debuting the cover for the first book in a new series that I'm co-writing called, it's going to be called the Sherwood Rising Trilogy. And it's a next generation Robin Hood kind of a deal.
Interesting. Oh,
I'm excited because I love Robin Hood.
That's awesome. And that's going to be another 3 books, you said that one is?
Yeah, it's a trilogy. Yeah, we have it planned out as a trilogy. So
is it wrong that Men in Tights is my favorite Robin Hood movie?
No. It's not.
Just watched Robin Hood Prince of Thieves for the first time in years and I was like, I forgot how fun this movie is. This movie is not trying to be anything but fun. This is all it's trying. It's just trying to be entertaining, and Alan Rickman as Sheriff of Nottingham is amazing. He's so good. He steals every scene he is in. It's just hilarious. And like, more, see, to me, like, okay, Kevin Costner, you were fine and everything, but it's the other character, like,
yeah,
Alan Rickman as the Sheriff of Nottingham, Morgan Freeman as Aziz, I think is the name of his character, Christian Slater, like the ensemble cast is just phenomenal in that movie. I mean, they really are. You don't hear people talk about that all that much, but that the ensemble cast is really great.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I haven't seen it since
you, like, need to watch it.
School.
It's fun. It's a fun one.
It's been a really long time. We won't go how far back that is. A
couple years.
It was a while ago. So yeah. It could be a rewatch for me for sure.
Yeah, it's a fun one. A lot of people bash it a little bit because, you know, Kevin Costner didn't do a British accent and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, but it's just fun. Like, it's just, they're just having fun. Just enjoy it. It's not trying to make a point. It's not trying to be anything but entertaining. And I miss that in movies. I love to just be, just let me have that hour and a half to 2 hours of escapism, you know?
Yeah, it's needed, honestly.
It is.
Can you imagine being a Robin Hood purist and that's like, that's your issue?
Right.
That was good, but Kevin Costner didn't have the right accent, so this movie's trash.
Okay, but what if he did an accent and it was bad? He would have got trashed, right, for that. So
right,
it there's was a no-win situation.
Yeah, people are gonna find, if people want to complain about something, they're going to find something to complain about. And you know what? If people didn't like it, that's fine. People who do like it can like it. Like, there are Marvel movies I'm not into, and Marvel movies that I like. And
all right,
I'm,
well, I guess that concludes this interview. Thank you, Kristen, for joining us. And all right, now, because that door was opened, what's an example of an MCU movie that you did not like?
Not like is strong. The ability to sit through it and actually stay in and finish it. I really struggled to finish the first Captain America movie. I don't know what it was. It was just, I guess the setup was just a little too slow, and I didn't read the comic book, so I didn't have an emotional attachment to it already, so I struggled to kind of get in there. Now later I liked the Captain America movies. Mm-hmm. I really struggled with Captain Marvel. I know some people liked it, some people hated it. I just didn't connect with her, and so I was like, you know, I'm not really having fun watching this movie, so I'm just gonna stop. And you know, I'm a Wonder Woman fan. I really like the Wonder Woman movies, and I know some people bash those, but they're the ones that I connected with. Yes, but bear in mind, I'm a widow, so I enjoyed the story. I saw like that she was dealing with that grieving process and moving forward and letting go, and it actually had some deeper themes to it, which I, you know, if you could have it back, what would that cost? Would you take it back? And so those were the themes that I saw and latched onto and connected with.
You know what's interesting about that? Well, first of all, I thought you would have said like Thor 1 and not Captain America 1. But
Thor Ragnarok is my very favorite Marvel
Ragnarok
movie.
Was 3, madam. Ragnarok was great. Thor 1.
I know,
was
but Thor Ragnarok was my very favorite. It's been my favorite Marvel movie so far. I love it.
Love and Thunder looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, too.
It does look like it.
Except that Love and Thunder, Thor Love and Thunder, sounds like a fan fiction title. I crack up every time I hear it because I'm like...
Well, the font looks like it's a romance novel cover.
From the 80s.
100%.
Well, he's got that hair. I mean, he could be on the cover of like a book. I mean, for real.
Yeah. No, I like Thor movies. I like, of course, the Iron Man movies. And I wouldn't say I dislike any of them. Some just hold my attention more than others.
Iron Man 3. Now, the opposite. Thor 3 was fantastic. Yeah. Iron Man 3, not quite as much.
I don't know which one is 3 and 1 or anything. Like, I just know which ones I like and which ones I set through. Fair. Didn't like them is strong. It's which ones I set through. But also with my vision, a lot of times when there's just like one big action scene after another, I have trouble visually tracking it. Mm-hmm. And so I get very, very lost in what's going on. And I think that is part of the problem with some of them, is that because I'm having a hard time visually tracking who's doing what and what's going on, it's hard for me to stay invested because I'm just sitting there going, wait, 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 what? Ooh, that exploded. Who died? Was that the... No, they're not dead. Are they dead? Who was that?
Person next who's like, shut up, I'm trying to watch it. What happened?
Luckily, I usually just watch them at home on my computer because I can track them a little easier that way.
So disappointed with VOD disappearing. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, I really liked that we could just watch it all
from couch, pause.
Comfort of our home, absolutely.
Yes.
But what I was going to say was it's super interesting to hear your perspective on Wonder Woman 1984, because obviously different lives. So I wouldn't have connected at that deeper level. And it reminds me of when you and I watched Unsane Michelle, that stalker movie, stalking movie. And I'm like, oh, man, this is pretty much trash. And you're like, no, this was amazing and horrifying.
Yeah.
And then we had like an hour discussion about how I'd never been stalked and didn't have that. That thing to connect to, so I couldn't connect with it.
And
that's, I think we need to, as I mean, fans are passionate and that's awesome, you know, the word comes from fanatic and it's awesome that they're passionate, but I think that we need to leave room for, even if we don't like something, to just go, it wasn't for me, but I'm really glad you enjoyed it, rather than like trying to convince them that they should also dislike it, because you never know why a character or a movie speaks to someone. And when you trash it and tear it down, they might kind of feel like you're tearing down a part of them. And it's just, no, if you don't like something, that's fine, but let them like it. Be happy that they like it. They get to like it. It's awesome.
I love that you said this just isn't for me, because I read something recently and that came up, just a better way of speaking to people. And you don't, exactly what you said, you don't have to trash everything because you don't like it. There's different strokes for different folks. Like some stuff just isn't for me.
No, I mean,
there are some things that are objectively bad. There's some movies that are objectively bad. Like you look at them and go, oh, did they have $5 for their budget? You know? And then there are some movies where wasn't for you, but it wasn't necessarily bad, it just didn't like it. But there are definitely some out there that everyone's like, no, we all agree that's bad. You know,
I wonder now, like some of the movies that I hated the absolute most, I had put they're sequels of sorts, and I put the originals on such a pedestal. Like John Wick, the first John Wick, is one of my favorite movies. I just thought it was really well done. It was original at the time. And then, you know, there was John Wick 3, and that
was there though? Was there
Boondock Saints 2? Absolutely love Boondock Saints.
Yes.
And then they made Boondock Saints 2, and I sigh.
That's definitely one we agree that shouldn't have happened. I mean, I think a lot of the same bad movies, which is, I mean, we just have fun. we have fun with bad movies.
Oh yeah, like a bad shark movie. Oh my god, I have a friend. And we do bad shark movie night, and it's amazing. We love it. It's so much fun.
We just saw, not just, but the last one we saw was the five-headed shark.
I think it was the five-headed.
I mean, that's on our list because we saw the two-headed shark one, and we're going to work our way up the amount of heads, you know? But if you ever get a chance, Sharks in Venice is amazingly bad. It can't decide if it wants to be Indiana Jones, Mission Impossible, Jaws. It's amazing.
It has
a Baldwin brother in it.
Isn't there just an audience for everything? Is that not the lesson?
But that's the movie I would watch.
Amazingly bad.
Hence my point.
So bad.
There's
one point where he's like, I got bit by a shark, but it's okay because I can talk, or something like that. Like, I was like the most ridiculous, but it's okay because I can talk. What?
Oh my gosh.
He's like standing there. I think it's Stephen Baldwin, I think.
That's not surprising.
I think it's Stephen Baldwin.
I don't know.
You would have thought Danny Baldwin.
I would have thought
it's not Dan. I'm 90% certain it's Stephen Baldwin, and it's amazing.
But I mean, the Sharknado movies like opened up the door for all the bad movies.
And they know they're bad.
Yeah, and I love that because they can make fun of themselves.
Yep.
I love the cameos that you get dropped in there. Like how much fun.
Yeah.
Like what? Oh, who was in that one? No, there was a tarantula one with like Steve Guttenberg. And it was it was like so funny though. I'm like, oh my God, he's doing something, but it's this. Like, it's like, was oh my it? Gosh.
Wow.
I can't remember the name of it, but like sci-fi. I mean, they have all those crazy things on.
Right.
There,
so. Yeah. Love yes. it.
Yeah. Awesome though.
There's a time and a place for bad movies. It's when the bad movies don't know what they are, that they're just bad. And you're like, oh, you're not a blockbuster. You're just bad. You're not even very owning true. It.
If a goofy movie takes itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? That's why I vibe with Riff Tracks, because they can take any movie, whether it's a really good one or a really bad one, and all of their ad-libbing through it and like talking over it and like just interjecting with their own dialogue, it can make any movie just so funny, and a bad one you can appreciate even more.
I love a bad lip reading on YouTube. Oh,
I haven't seen those in
so
forever.
Much.
I can't even.
And then the Everything Wrong with Such and Such in 20 Minutes or Less. I love those too.
Those are great too.
You know, and the thing is, CinemaSins. They're not even really saying the movies are bad. They're just having fun and pointing out the ridiculous
cliches. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and people get offended, and I'm like, no, you don't get it. They're not actually bashing the movie. They're just having fun. And
oh my
and
God.
Telling people not to take it so seriously.
Chris, have you ever watched
Screen Rant?
Yes, but
what's his name?
Pitch Meetings.
Yes.
Pitch meetings.
I've seen a few of them, yeah.
They're just great. And he does tend to go after DC and DCEU and MCU.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just so funny because they take what's a decent movie, but when you're pitching it, how silly it could sound, or some of the issues with it. I highly recommend, there was a while, like we'd go to the movies just to watch the pitch meeting after.
Absolutely. Cause they were that much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
What was your favorite one?
You know, I feel like that was a pre-pandemic thing too. So, I don't
like, I just want Chris to have like the best one to go search for.
Oh, The Lion King.
Nice. The 100%. Live action Lion King one.
I don't remember if he did one for both, but I think it was the cartoon one. The Lion King one, because that was hilarious. Just in like the first couple seconds, I want to say. Because essentially he made the point that Scar and Mufasa were the only males in the pride. So long story short, Simba and Nala were brother sister. So you just get the
cousins. Yeah.
But so it was just hilarious because you've got him explaining it and then like the producer like making the face. It's hilarious.
Nice.
So definitely check that out if you want to giggle.
Totally. Absolutely.
Or any of the MCU movies.
Yeah. We used to have a lot of fun with the epic rap battles.
And oh,
what
yeah.
happened
yeah.
with those?
They got burnt out. And then I want to say Disney bought them too, because Disney was buying everything.
Disney buys all things.
Does.
Well, I was just reading something because we were watching Jurassic Park last night, and I went on this Google wormhole for Jurassic Park. And we're talking about the highest grossing movies and the richest directors.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney owns, but with Disney owning Marvel and Star Wars, they own like half of the highest grossing movies ever made.
That's insane.
And like obviously two of the biggest franchises.
That's crazy. They're becoming the Walmart of movie studios.
Oh my gosh.
Everything. And they're everywhere.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Like I said, Disney, if you want to give me like free Disney World.
you just refer to them as Walmart. I don't know if that is going to do you any favors, though.
Let's call them Dunkin' or Starbucks. That might.
Oh, the Starbucks.
That might go down easier. Yeah.
They're not going to listen to me.
Are you saying Disney executives are not listening to our podcast?
I was if they're not listening they to should. Me, they should totally listen to you.
You're skipping this episode. Like, oh,
we've talked about two of their real estates. We've talked about Star Wars and Marvel. So, I mean, I think it's free advertising for them, right here.
That's true.
Hashtags.
But I've heard they're litigious. I've heard they're litigious. So if we talk about it too much, we might get cease and desist or sued.
Oh, yeah. So stop it, Peter.
Yeah.
We've been nice.
That's true.
We've been nice.
That's true.
We don't do mean well, I don't think.
Mean is just, there's too much effort for me.
So much energy.
Time and place.
Much energy to be mean. It's so, more fun to laugh.
Sure is.
I'm not really a laugher.
And the lies you tell.
The lies I tell. I am curious, not to be boring, but to go back to your books. What made you decide to seek out a publisher and not self-publish?
Oh, I'm independent. I decided to do that instead of wait for someone to give me permission.
Okay. I thought you said earlier
Boundless Fantasy.
Boundless was who was publishing you. Or is that
That's
company?
That's my company.
Oh, you snuck that in there. Okay.
I did. It started with just me, and now I've got a co-writer and she's doing that. And like I said, we're expanding to having fantasy inspired perfumes that we're going to have. I think those at this point right now, at least as far as I'm concerned, they're only going to be at in-person events because I can't actually see well enough to drive. So getting things shipped out is just a lot. And yeah. I would rather just have the stuff there, and it's extra incentive to come to the booth. And we've also got fun buttons, and we've got a lot of fun things coming up at the Smallville Comic-Con booth.
Wish we were closer.
Well, and my co-author is coming out from Pennsylvania to do the booth with me. So,
oh, nice.
With it being Smallville, is it a heavily Superman kind of?
Yeah.
You don't like Superman.
I like Superman.
I thought you didn't like Superman. Oh, you don't like.
I like my Superman. I'm sorry. I'm a girl of a certain age. I have a Superman.
Have a Superman and you're loyal.
Thank you. No.
There's Henry Cavill and there's everyone else.
No.
I saw what I said.
You did, but shame on you.
I said what I said.
Poor Christopher Reeve.
I was a big fan of Christopher Reeve. Said, I was a big fan of Henry Cavill when he was doing The Tudors. He was amazing in that. I love him in The Witcher. Love him in that.
Neville Dormer was in that too.
Me before the coffee. Oh, I loved the Tudors, but I really like British history. And while that is not really historically accurate, it's also not entirely inaccurate. But I think it's really a well produced series, and I enjoyed it. And I love Natalie Dormer as Anne Boleyn. I thought she was amazing. I thought she really captured the passion as much as, you know, of Anne Boleyn. And I just thought she did a phenomenal job.
I feel like I'd like it. I feel like you'd hate it. I don't know.
I feel like it's something we'd watch too late and I would take naps. And then you'd be like, oh, you missed it. That's the thing. Like, my day starts super early, like even earlier than yours is supposed to start.
You hate so much. It's funny because you like Lord of the Rings.
Love, yeah.
And blank on the other one. But like, you hate British stuff.
I don't hate British stuff.
You kind of do.
I don't. He's lying again. I don't know if you know this about him.
Hey, Michelle, what do you think of the UK version of The Office?
Well, that just wasn't very good. If I saw that first, I might not agree.
That's true. I do prefer the American version, but I've seen both. I mean, I do think also that there's certainly differences in American humor and British humor. It's different. Mm-hmm. And I like both, but I do like the American Office better. But I also love the dynamic between Dwight and Jim. I love that.
Yes.
I love the things they do to each other. It's amazing. It's frenemies to bromance.
Yes.
To besties.
They really were.
Yeah.
Didn't like Peaky Blinders.
I've never watched Peaky Blinders.
You tried to watch Peaky Blinders.
I watched one episode today of whatever season you're in. And not even all of it. I just
final season on Netflix now.
Dropping that plug too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so we can get comments about it and I can talk to people about it.
Because you can't talk to me.
Because I can't talk to you about it.
Do you watch Stranger Things at all?
I watched the first season and then I got through part of the second season and got real, real annoyed with the characters being situationally stupid. So I was like, I can't. Anybody who had actually been through the things they went through in the first season would not be doing what they're doing just now.
Oh my gosh. So you're saying it wasn't for you?
It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. And it's great that people enjoy it. I don't like scary things that much because my entire career is based on feeding my imagination to the point that I can't control it. Mm. And I don't care if I'm an adult at night after I've been watching something scary. If there's that weird lump in my room, it doesn't matter that I know it's a pile of clothing. It could be a monster. I'm fairly sure. You know, like I can't go to sleep now. That thing's going to come to life and kill me. You know,
but it's, oh my gosh.
But it's fine because the monsters aren't going for screams anymore. They're going for laughs.
Ah, yes. Back to Disney we go.
Oh, there we go.
No, isn't that Pixar? Floor. Pixar Disney.
Which
Pixar
is Disney.
They're really doing everything.
Everything.
Thanks.
Now, with Boundless Fantasy, are you looking to expand and like take clients on to publish others?
It's not something I'm opposed to. It would be. It depends. Like I would want to have a certain level of quality. I hired a professional editor and you know, I made her, she's mean to me and it works. You know, I have grown and gotten better because of it. It all depends. Originally that was kind of the plan. And now I'm sort of like, there's only so many hours in the day and I only have so much time. So if it got to a point where I could hire minions to do things, then, you know, maybe now because I have a co-author, there is someone else who's, you know, under that umbrella. So
I definitely feel like minions will come.
Yes, you I are, would like minions.
You're very driven and you're very focused. I mean,
yeah,
building an empire.
Yeah,
from your humble Lord of the Rings fan fiction beginnings.
Oh, don't give me delusions of grandeur. If I could build a space station as big as a moon.
It'll come. Give it time.
You know, she said she would cosplay.
Taking over the world.
She said she had a lightsaber, so she cosplayed as a Jedi. She's giving off mad Sith vibes. I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to say that, but she said Jedi, and I'm like, I bet you were.
Okay, so the funny thing is I play Star Wars The Old Republic when I have time, and I prefer imp side over the Republic side almost. My favorite character is an Imperial sniper. I love her. She's a tiny little blue chiss and she has enormous guns and just goes around. And I'm in my guild. They're like, we need someone who can kill things quickly. And I'm, can you bring Inari in? I'm like, yep, let's go. I call her the tiny blue death flower.
Oh my gosh. I love that you still have time to do that. Like, that's a lot of fun that you still have time to kick back and just like kick around the video game because there are so many days.
Yeah, it's kind of getting to where I'm having a little time to do it again there for like the first part of the year, the end of last year and the first part of this year. I put, between December, I think 12th was the day that The Twisted Path came out, which is the prequel to the Song of Souls trilogy. And then May 26th, I think, is when Agent of Change came out. But in that time, I put out 5 books. So I had no time. I had no time to do anything. Now,
but
4 of them were
5 books.
Yeah. Now, 4 of them were that series that were co-written with my friend and co-author who has other books that she's written as well. Her pen name is Jennifer Sanders. People should definitely check her out as well. And we had 2 of those stories that we had written years ago just for fun. Mm-hmm. And so when we had like a first draft of those, of like the first and the third one, we just didn't know it was going to end up being the third one. And okay. Of course we went in and changed it and expanded it. But so we had 2 done already and then we made it a 4-book series. So, and it's hitting well with Outlander fans. Because it takes place in the Victorian era. It's the first book takes place in the late summer after the last confirmed Jack the Ripper murder. So it's 1890, I think it's 1891. And then it follows like each book follows a different couple. So we're introduced to the four male leads in the first one, mm-hmm. and because they were school friends, they went to a boarding school together, and then each one sort of follows one of them and their romance and their story. And it definitely leans a little bit more romance than the trilogy, which is more high fantasy with romance mixed in, as opposed to this is romance with fantasy and adventure and everything mixed in. So it's called the Fae Touched Chronicles, and the Fae Touched are people who have Fae in their lineage somewhere, and so they have magical abilities because of that.
It's amazing.
Thank you. Like, what, and they're all mentally job. Cast as well.
Does I have to imagine that would help in fleshing out the character too, to just envision who you would want to be and then have it describe them as the person you'd cast them as.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is, you know, we'll mentally cast characters. It's really helpful when you're writing with someone, because then we both know what that character looks like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we mentally cast them. And then I think on some level, they always kind of, you know, they become physically, they look like their own person. They don't necessarily remain that actor or actress completely. It's just sort of a starting point. Unless it's Ben Barnes, and then they absolutely stay Ben Barnes. All things come back to Ben Barnes.
I'm seeing that.
Now, you said that Jennifer resides in Pennsylvania? So tell us, with you being in Kansas and her being in Pennsylvania, how do the two of you write together so seamlessly?
Well, it's actually really, really fun. We get in a Google document and we each write different characters. So we know which point of view, which character's perspective we're in. Mm-hmm. And for instance, in the first book in the Fae Touch Chronicles, she wrote the leading man and I wrote the leading lady. And then the second, I wrote the leading man and she wrote the leading lady. So we know what the plot is. We know what needs to happen in a scene. We know whose perspective we're in. And then we'll actually just write back and forth as the characters. So it's a little bit of role play as well. And it's really, we're going to be doing a panel on using role play to do collaborative writing at Smallville. I'm really excited to do that. We're going to get off on so many tangents.
It's awesome though.
That's, I mean, clever.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, it's like you're IMing your friend, but you get to be somebody else while you're IMing them.
Yeah.
So I love that.
In fact, the first book and the third book, the ones that were already written, we actually did those over Facebook Messenger because it was just for fun. The first book was a birthday present for me. I was, you know, kind of going through a rough time. And so we did this role play story, and she created the four leading guys. She created them all for my one girl to pick from. So they were all different. And then, so we wrote it, and then I decided that I loved all of them. But I did pick one, and then I stole one, and I was like, he's going to be mine now. And he became the leading guy in the second one and is absolutely mine now. He's totally mine. And he's one of my favorite characters to write. But yeah, it was so much fun. I love it so much. And we just started actually writing out the first book in that next trilogy, and it's fun. I get to be the leading guy in that one too, and I have a blast. I don't know. I really like to write male characters. I don't know why. It's just fun.
I can see that. I mean, I don't think I'd be able to write well from the male perspective.
Well, I figure
they're humans. That's the thing. I just write them as humans. That's like, people are always like, how do you write a strong female character? How do you write? I'm like, well, you write a strong character who happens to be female.
No,
you know, like the principles apply no matter the gender. The principles of writing a good character are the same. You write a character, someone who is engaging, who has faults and strengths, fears, and you know, things that they love. Like, I can tell you that Ross, who's the lead hero in the second Fae Touched Chronicles book, Healer's Touch, he loves cake. He's just like, he's got a massive sweet tooth. If there's something sweet there, if there's a table of sweets, that is where you will find him, because sweets, you know.
Nice.
Just little quirks like that, or knowing their favorite color, or knowing if they have a phobia. You know, that's where I start with characters. What are their relationships with their families? Mm-hmm. Is there someone they're closer to? Who's their best friend? Like in the Fae Touch Chronicles, we have two of our male characters are they absolutely have a bromance. They're Ross and Asher, and they're best friends. And you know, Ross goes and steals Asher's brandy because not because he can't afford it, but because it's better if he steals it from him. You know, this is better if he takes his. those little quirks in the relationship that may not even actually come into a book, but my co-author and I know that this happens. We know that they have that kind of relationship.
Oh my gosh.
Did you go to school at all for writing, or has this all been just life experience and
It's been life experience and all of that. I went to school for early childhood education. But I've always been a storyteller, and I always tested really high on reading comprehension levels by book it where they read the books and they get the free pizza from Pizza Hut or whatever. I never did as well because I was reading chapter books that were several grades ahead of me, so they were big and detailed, and I wasn't reading like 10 books a week because I was reading an enormous book. Yeah. And they've since changed it to where they also take into account what the child is reading. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that then. It was just based on numbers, so I never got that many pizzas because I was reading books, you know. But like by second grade I was reading Shakespeare and Edgar Allan Poe, and it made sense to me, and I don't know how or why. So if I was just the wow. reading comprehension yeah, right. has always been there. I think it's more that I'll look at a situation and then I can figure out what's happening from that. I don't necessarily have to understand exactly every word that's being said. I look at the context and mm-hmm. it's made sense to me. And my parents watched Star Trek and they quoted Shakespeare a lot, particularly in Next Generation. And so it wasn't entirely foreign to me that form of speaking.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Stewart was a Shakespeare trained actor.
Yeah.
So he was always looking for a reason to pull that out.
Yeah. Well, my mom read chapter books to me even when I was little bitty. Like she just always read to me. And so I just grew up hearing the stories written for people older than myself. And like kind of skipped the little kid books. It's like, no, this is not in depth enough. We must go here.
So while the internet is fighting over Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears, mm-hmm. you were reading Shakespeare and Edgar Allan Poe.
Because it's Edgar Allan Poe scared me, but that was the one thing where I was like, I liked it, even though it scared me. You know.
Do you still read a lot as an adult, as an author?
I don't get to read as much as I would like. I don't usually read when I'm in the middle of writing something because it's so easy to accidentally be influenced by what you're reading. And sure. to even just stylistically, you might start to lean toward that style and not what you were already writing. So I tend to not read as much if I'm actively working on a project, but I always like squeeze a book in and like a few books in between writing. Like it's time to read now.
So. Are those your go-to, that fantasy or action romance kind of?
Fantasy. Majorly my go-to. I do like when there's a touch of romance. I like there to be a little bit of romance. I don't typically read just straight romance. Like there has to be something in the plot besides the romance. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly, of course, there's like the cheesy romance novels that everybody thinks about. When you say romance, they think Harley Quinn and Harley mm-hmm. Quinn romances and all of that. But there are a lot of romances out there that do have just as much plot and character development and interesting things going on as, you know, just a fully fledged fantasy book. So it kind of gets a bad rap. People hear the word romance and I'm like, oh, well, that's for girls. Well, no, it could be for anybody. Anybody can read it. These characters are fun. There's mm-hmm. action. It's that moment where it's like, is this a kissing book? <You know?
laughs> Love the Princess Bride.
Oh, oh yeah. Do I? There's a quote for everything from that one.
There is. Now, what? Okay, just off topic, but not. What's your favorite? Like, do you have a favorite book? Like, one that you go back to again and again? One that's like, oh, I haven't read that in a while. I want to revisit it.
Or author.
I mean, aside from the obvious Lord of the Rings, there's an author named Juliette Marlier, and she, particularly her book, The Seven Waters, her books, it's like a Seven Waters series, but the first book, Daughter of the Forest, is just amazing. It's a very sophisticated, interesting retelling of the fairy tale, The Six Swans, and it takes place in a medieval Ireland. And it's just, it's amazing. It's so well written. I adore it. I absolutely adore her. Just her voice as a writer and the characters, love it. And with those books, each one, like each subsequent book follows someone from the next generation of those characters. Or sometimes if there's siblings, it will follow like a few of the siblings, but each one sort of centers on a different person. And yet they're all kind of connected and they have that family lore and the Irish folklore. And I love the Irish folklore that they put into that. So I love Juliette Marlier's work. And then of course, Tolkien is amazing. I once read the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy in a weekend because I just...
Jesus. In a weekend?
Oh yeah. In fairness, I was sick and couldn't really do anything. So, and I don't like taking naps. I don't take naps. I never liked it. I still don't like, that's how people know I'm really sick. If I take a nap, they're like, oh God, do you need to go to the hospital? Oh, no. Like, no, I just, no, it's fine. I'm not going to do that. I'm fine. Might miss something. Could miss key writing hours if I take a nap, you know?
Very, very true.
So where do people go if they want to stay up to date on upcoming projects, past projects, and all that stuff?
The best place would be the Boundless Fantasy Facebook page. That's where I'm the best about keeping things updated. I also have a website, which is boundlessfantasybooks@wix.com. And I'm getting better at keeping that updated as I've just gotten more comfortable with the whole website thing and doing that. I just recently got TikTok account, which I'm still sort of figuring out. But you can catch me there. I update pretty frequently. I try to do once every day, but it's been a little spotty with things getting closer to the con and being busier. And I do sneak peek Saturdays on TikTok, where I do like a little video that hints at what's coming up. I'm on Instagram, and I'm very grudgingly on Twitter. Like, that's the last one you should go to, because that's the one that I update when I remember.
Yeah. So how do people find you on TikTok and Instagram?
Well, on TikTok, I think really both of them, if they just look up Kristen Stovall, I should come up. With TikTok, they could also look up Boundless Fantasy. I'm not entirely sure whether they should look, because they give you a username, but then also the account name. So I'm not sure which one people search for. I'm very new to TikTok. This has been in the last month that I've started going, okay. So I pushed this button, like I just found the other day, where I could find some of the filters that I see people use. Like, I just figured that out yesterday. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at TikTok.
Oh, it is a process, and you're moving along very nicely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I do have like over 1,000 followers in less than
not
a
girl.
Month.
Very well good. Done. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know what the ratio of followers to anything on TikTok. I don't know anything on TikTok.
I assume everyone's a bot, but
that's true.
But still, it sounds awesome.
It does.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're gonna get real people in there.
Yeah, a lot of book talk is apparently a big thing, and that's why I got on it. Cause like, my co-author was like, "You need to do it," and my publicist was like, "You need to do it," and I dug my heels in and dug my heels in. Then I finally like, fine, I'll do it. Now that I'm not writing 4 books at once, I will do the TikTok.
<You know? laughs> Do the TikTok.
It felt really intimidating to me. Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot where it shows my face, because this is fine because we're talking and we can go back and forth, but just me by myself with the, I'm nope, 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 nope. No.
I feel the same. I feel the same.
Nope, nope, nope.
No, we and just then, play the audio anyway.
Yeah, we do. We just play the audio. So
yeah. And then the books, all of them can be purchased as paperback on Amazon. And then the Twisted Path and Soulbound are available in ebook on many, many different platforms. As soon as Soulfire and Boundless, which are the second two books in the trilogy, as soon as they go off of Kindle Unlimited, I'm going to put them on other platforms as well. If they're on Kindle Unlimited, you can't have them on multiple platforms. And then all of the Fae Touch Chronicles are on multiple platforms in ebook. Nice. And Soulbound is also audiobook.
And then date and location of the Smallville Con that you're going to be at, just in case anybody wants to pop in and say hi.
They absolutely should, because then they can see the cover of the new book. It's June 18th through the 19th in Hutchinson, Kansas at the State Fairgrounds.
Okay, so beautiful.
And we will be in the Meadowlark building in booth 52. And there'll be a Boundless Fantasy sign. I just got my banner today and it's amazing and I was really excited.
Love that.
If they buy, congratulations. Thank you. If they buy a book, they also get a little package of cookies and a pack of tea so that they can have a nice afternoon reading with cookies and tea.
Cookies and tea? Peter, we need to go.
Wait, hang on. What kind of cookies?
These aren't super fancy cookies. They're just shortbread cookies with Scottish labeling because they're to go with the Fae Touch Chronicles, which primarily take place in Scotland.
I knew you were going to say shortbread too.
I like shortbread.
Shortbread are amazing.
They are.
I'm like, it's going to be it's going to be shortbread. And then you said it.
Be shortbread. And you get like six of them in a package. And then we're also going to have some fun. We're also going to have some fun pins and buttons. Some of them, I mean, they're just fun, nerdy things, fantasy themes. There's going to be some gaming dice and dice towers and the perfume. And eventually I'm going to be adding candles, not this show, but eventually candles, custom candles will be added to that as well. So it's turning into Boundless Fantasy books and gifts. It's just sort of, it's expanding.
It's your brand. That's great.
It is.
A lot of people can't do that. And look at you.
It's so important to brand. It just is. You know, and it needs to be accessible.
I like how you're just setting up this atmosphere for reading. You got the cookies and tea, aromatherapy in the background.
Yeah. Gotta have a nice, good afternoon. Everybody needs some chill time. You know, it's a lot of stress. So we all need that chill time.
Absolutely.
So if you want to escape, check out one or all of Kristen's books. You can find them. You're going to have copies of them all with you at the con.
Yeah, they will all be there. All of them.
Beautiful.
My book babies, as I call them. My mother calls them her grand books because I don't have any kids. Like, that's what you're getting from me, Mom. You're getting grand books.
Oh my gosh. That's so cute. Oh, I love that.
Thank you. They're her grand books. She's given up on grandchildren for me. So she's content with her many grand books. Her grandchildren for me are the characters.
And they go on forever and ever.
And so much less needy.
They are less needy.
They generally behave themselves better. Sometimes they're difficult, but they usually behave themselves better.
Or they disappear and everyone's happy.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Nope. Keep going.
Nope. No, he wasn't here. Nope. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we are not going to keep you much longer, because we want you to get everything done you need to do, get rest, and get prepped for next weekend, because that's going to be so much fun. Again, everybody go on out. And again, we thank you for sitting with us. We're going to attach your information in with our description so people can find you with ease.
Thank you.
If you don't have anything else, Peter or Kristen, either of you.
I mean, I could keep going, but we
could, because again, you are a grand storyteller
and you're a lot of fun.
We
do this thing where we're always, we love the people we talk to, but you've already said, if we keep it up, you're going to try and build a Death Star. And I don't want that on my
couch. Well, if people buy my books and read them and leave nice reviews, they have nothing to worry about.
There you go. And maybe she was just talking about a Lego one.
She yeah. was not. It was... She said space station.
I like the fear that was in your voice there. She was not.
He's been married not. For a long time.
I recognize the signs.
Here's the secret thing for me, though, is to show me something sparkly and I'll be like, ooh.
Ah, squirrel.
Yes, squirrel.
I can relate.
He relates 100%.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Oh, man.
Now, I have an overactive conscience. If I ever, like, built a Death Star and, like, even kill, like, a lizard with it, I'd beat myself up for years. I'd be like, no, no. So I'll just make one that, like, shoots confetti. That's what it'll do. It'll be, like, oh. glittery confetti.
It'll be so a party. It'll be the,
yeah, it'll be, like, the glitter star, you know?
I like that. I'd hop on board. Would yeah. you would
that's a
too.
Great, that's
you
a great name.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anything.
You could. It'd be amazing.
There's no
you
way
know,
that's not
it'd
a
be
bar
great
somewhere.
Parties. Glitter. It's probably a gay bar, honestly.
Most likely. <You
know? laughs> Which I would go there anyway. Like, you know.
Happy Pride
I'm not
month.
Gay. I'm not gay, but gay bars are cool. I enjoy them. It seems like they're cleaner. I don't know. Maybe just the ones I went to. I'm sure that they're icky dirty, but I don't really like going to bars that much, but it's too loud. I want to be able to drink in my pajamas. You know?
Yes.
You reach a point where you're like, no, I'm not putting heels on if I'm having wine.
There's just so many things. So many things are just better at home in your pajamas.
At home in your
most,
pajamas.
Most things are better at home in your pajamas.
We were just talking about this.
We were. I agree completely.
And then there's like daytime pajamas and the actual sleep-in pajamas, because there's a difference.
There is.
Some are appropriate for daytime lounging, others are saved for sleeping. Mm-hmm. They're all pajamas, there's just a time and a place.
Exactly. And there's like that one occasional pair or two you can almost get away with going out in them, as long yeah. as you have the right hoodie with it.
Right,
it's not,
right.
It's not for
and
all
it's the
of it.
Right time of a, of the day. There are certain yes. times of day you kind of get away with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm watching a TikTok right now with especially with the like lounging pajamas and nighttime pajamas. Like I saw yeah. one where they were talking about you get to a certain age and people are no longer impressed with how late you can stay up, but it's how early you can go to sleep. And I'm like, that's so true. And they were doing a bit like, oh my god, you went to sleep at 9:30. I wish I could.
I'm a night owl to this day. Like I have to fight myself to go to bed before midnight. I'm just a night person.
Going to bed
I'm
and
not
going
a
to sleep
person.
Are very different things for me.
Yeah.
Because I'll go True. To bed at a reasonable time, but by the time I go to sleep,
yep.
Some time has passed.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Totally the same. I just
got to put that phone down, kids.
So I can. No, the problem is that's when the characters sit there and go, "Hey, are you sleeping? Trying to?
Well, get up.
I had
for
an
a
idea. Had an idea for something. A lot of times it's the villains too. That was when they're like, "Hey, I thought of something terrible I could do to the hero. Are you sleeping? Shut up. Yes. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're done sleeping now. Now you're going to hear my terrible plan.
How to make it's money by hearing too. Voices with Kristen
exactly.
Stovall.
Exactly. No, it's bad though. My co-author and I, like, we both enjoy doing terrible things to our characters, but we both sort of go, okay, they're going to pull me back if I tell them this idea. They're going to pull me back. It never works out that way. One of us is always like, okay, that's good, but what if we did this? What if we added this to it? And it's just... I feel like anytime we pick characters, they're sitting there going, please don't look at me. Please don't look at me. In the character green room in my head, they're sitting there in the corner trying to not gain, like get anyone's attention. Oh, and the problem God. Is the more I like a character, the meaner I am to them because it's fun.
She's insane, but I love her.
Exactly. It's the good kind of insane.
Like 3 minutes ago, oh my God, if I killed a lizard, I'd never forgive myself. But a fictional character.
But the fictional character that I created, I can
I will
do whatever
run the gauntlet
I want to them.
Of horrificness yes. on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I have my limits. my limits. I'm not George R. R. Martin where I kill every character just to try and shock people. But then it just gets boring, but then you want them to earn every bit of good that they get. Like they have to earn it. But you know, when you're reading a book and you're with these characters for an adventure, like you, when they've been through a lot, the ending feels earned, you know, like you want, that's what I like in books. I like to see them overcome and go through things, yeah. Mostly overcome until I decide to be super mean.
They kicked you off just enough.
They weren't being good. Or I needed someone else to miss someone. So bye-bye.
Oh my gosh. Bye-bye. I'm bored with you now. So next.
We're going to come back in like 2 weeks and be like, okay, so I read, do you remember when we had Kristen on? I read one of her books. Oh my God. Did you know who we were talking to? Like the things she did to her characters. Oh my gosh. So I'm in therapy now. I.
That's talent.
Mostly. It's not that bad. Mostly. Mostly it's not that bad.
I feel like you've got some stuff tucked in your pocket for later use though.
We haven't done this yet.
Yeah, you know. Don't worry, I have friends who pull me back as well. And they're like, you cannot do that. That's too far. Be nice to them. At one point, my editor for the trilogy, was working on the last one. And I was looking at one of the characters and she was like, could you just stop? Just stop picking on him. And I'm like, but he's my favorite. It's like, no, you're not doing that to him. Just don't. It's too much. And I'm like, fine.
See?
Leave the bunny alone. No. I just want to hug it. It's fine. It likes it. Put the bunny down.
The bunnies can fend for themselves. They can be mean.
Oh, my God.
I know. I had a rabbit. That okay. Can be mean.
Is it true? Because I saw this on TikTok, so it has to be true. Bunnies have that little tail, that little puff, but you can actually pull it out. Is that true? Like you can pull.
I didn't ever try to pull my bunny's tail out.
Nor I when I had one.
That never occurred to me to pull on my rabbit's tail. Who comes up with this notion to do this?
Peter, obviously.
Peter doesn't have a bunny. Peter has access to TikTok, and I saw it on TikTok.
It's a poofy tail.
You can find it on YouTube too. Apparently, like I don't know,
it coils.
It's
nope,
like,
I'm not ever pulling a rabbit's tail.
Yeah,
never
I don't
want to
find out. And they'll bite you if you try. Saying, I bet
YouTube.
Those two little teeth are like vicious.
YouTube
and
rabbit
their little
tail.
Claws.
Oh my gosh!
YouTube rabbit tail.
Like spooky rabbit was crazy.
Well, you know, rabbits had to get vicious because people kept cutting off their feet for luck.
We just gave them clovers, man. We were nice to them.
Yeah, we just gave them treats.
Like, I don't know why. It's just the backlash that went with it. No.
God.
I'm just saying.
Next bunny you see, Peter, you go ahead, give that a whirl.
Every time I see somebody with a bunny, I ask and... Oh, it was my friends and I don't have it anymore. Oh. I'm telling you, just go to YouTube. You'll see it.
Probably because they tried to pull their bunny's tail out. That's why they don't have it anymore.
I know if I were that bunny, I'd be hopping mad. Oh, yeah, I did it. Did it. I got to get one mom joke in. I can't help it.
You cannot.
I cannot.
It has to happen. It couldn't be avoided. You know.
No.
Chris, you've been awesome.
Thank you. You guys have been awesome too.
Thank you so much. We will send you the link directly as well.
Awesome.
So
thank you.
You'll get that as soon as it comes up. You might actually still be awake for it. But
probably.
Again, everybody, thank you for joining us on this episode. Kristen, thank you for sitting with us. We can't wait to hear about what's next. We can't wait to see what stories you have in store for all of us. And until next time, everyone, that's a wrap.